Chapter 5. Oliver is returned to Fagin. Bill Sykes was sitting in a dark and dirty pub in the greyest part of London with a glass of beer in front of him. His dog sat at his feet, licking a new cut on its face and growling. Sykes kicked the dog hard as Fagin walked up to his table.
"Where is it?" Sykes said angrily. "Give it to me."
"It's all right, Bill," Fagin said quietly. "Here it is."
He took a brown envelope from his coat pocket and gave it to Sykes. Sykes counted the coins inside. Just then, Nancy came towards them in her red dress and green boots.
"Have you found any sign of the boy yet?" Sykes demanded.
"I've heard he's been ill and hasn't been out," replied Nancy. "I'll keep on watching," she said, and turned to go.
"I'll walk with you," said Sykes,
getting to his feet and leaving Fagin alone. Oliver was on his way to the bookstall with Mr. Brownlow's books. A sudden shout made him jump.
"Oh, my dear brother!"
a young woman in a red dress called out loudly. She put her arms around Oliver's neck.
"Let go of me!" cried Oliver. "Oh, Oliver, you naughty boy!" said Nancy. "He ran away from home," she explained to a woman standing near.
"No, I'm an orphan. I don't have a sister or father or mother," Oliver cried.
"What the devil is happening?"
said Sykes, coming towards them, his dog beside him.
"Oliver, come home to your mother at once."
"I don't belong to them. Help, help!" cried Oliver
as Sykes took the books from Oliver's hands and hit him. Sykes grabbed Oliver by the collar and dragged him down the street. There was nothing poor Oliver could do. They walked quickly, Nancy holding one of Oliver's hands, Sykes the other, and the dog growling at his feet. They stopped at an old house in a narrow, dirty street. The Dodger came to the door carrying a candle. He did not say anything when he saw Oliver, but he smiled and led the way down some dark stairs to the cellar. They walked through a kitchen and into a room with a very low ceiling.
"Oh, here he is," cried Charlie, laughing. "Oh, look at him! Look at his clothes! Look at his shoes! What a gentleman he is now, Fagin!"
"I'm very happy to see you looking so well, my dear," said Fagin, bowing at Oliver.
The Dodger searched Oliver's pockets and found the £5 note. Fagin took it quickly, but Sykes cried out,
"That's mine, Fagin."
"No, no, my dear, it's mine. You shall have the books, Bill."
"Give it to me, you old devil,"
Sykes said, grabbing the note from Fagin and putting it into his pocket.
"Nancy and I earned this. You can have the books."
"No, they're Mr. Brownlow's books," cried Oliver. "He was so kind to me when I was ill. Please send him back the books and the money. He'll think I stole them. Do what you like with me, but please send Mr. Brownlow's things back."
Oliver fell at Fagin's feet and cried.
"Of course he'll think you stole them," Fagin said to Oliver, laughing. "We've done well, Bill. The soft-hearted old fool won't tell anyone because he won't want the police to arrest Oliver again.
Oliver suddenly jumped to his feet and ran from the room. Fagin, the Dodger and Charlie chased after him. Nancy quickly closed the door behind them.
Bill, don't let the dog go after Oliver,
Nancy cried, grabbing Sykes's arm.
It'll bite him.
Let go of me, or I'll knock your head against the wall, shouted Sykes.
I don't care, screamed Nancy. I won't let the dog hurt the child. You'll have to kill me first.
Sykes pushed Nancy away from him and she fell to the ground. At that moment, Fagin, the Dodger and Charlie returned with Oliver.
So you wanted to run away, did you? Fagin was saying to Oliver. You wanted to call the police? I'll make you think again about that.
He picked up a stick by the wall and hit Oliver with it. He was about to hit him again when Nancy grabbed the stick from Fagin and threw it on the fire.
Stop it! She shouted. You've got the boy now. What more do you want?
You keep quiet, growled Sykes, or I'll make you quiet for a very long time.
He took Nancy by her wrists and held her tightly.
Charlie, show Oliver to bed, ordered Fagin.
He won't need his best clothes tomorrow, will he?
Charlie asked.
Certainly not, replied Fagin.
Charlie led Oliver to the kitchen, where there were three beds on the floor, and took some old clothes out of a cupboard.
Take off your smart clothes, he said to Oliver. I'll give them to Fagin to look after.
He laughed.
It is fun to have you back, he said.
Then he went out, locking the door and leaving Oliver in the dark. Mr. Bumble had arrived in London on important business. After a large dinner at his hotel, he made himself comfortable by the fire and picked up the newspaper. His eyes immediately fell upon the words, £5 reward. There followed an advertisement describing Oliver and how he had disappeared, asking for information about the boy's history. Mr. Brownlow's name and address were included at the end. In less than 5 minutes, Mr. Bumble was on his way to Pentonville. When Mrs. Bedwin came to the door, Mr. Bumble explained the reason for his visit.
Come in, said the old lady. We've been waiting for some news of the poor child.
She showed Mr. Bumble to Mr. Brownlow's study.
You have come about my advertisement, said Mr. Brownlow. Do you know where poor Oliver is now?
No, sir, replied Mr. Bumble.
Well, then why are you here? Asked Mr. Brownlow.
Mr. Bumble put down his hat, undid his coat and began his story. For 20 minutes he told the story of the orphan, Oliver Twist, who was born in the workhouse, who had attacked the innocent young Mr. Claypole, and who had run away from his master, Mr. Sowerberry. Mr. Brownlow listened sadly, and when Mr. Bumble had finished, gave him the £5 reward and asked him to leave.
Mrs. Bedwin, that boy tricked us, Mr. Brownlow said when she came back. I've just heard the full story of his life.
I'll never believe it, sir,
replied the old lady.
He was a dear, grateful, gentle child. I know what children are, sir.
Silence, said the old gentleman. Never let me hear the boy's name again. Never.